So let's do a little review. So we talk about things that are going to pull you into the frequency of God. What is the first thing we said? What's going to pull us in the frequency of God? Everybody say obedience. If you forgot what the number one was, it's obedience. Say obedience. When you're obedient, it'll pull you, it'll suck you into a good place where you can hear from God. What's the second thing we learned?
Praise.
Praise. Everybody say praise.
Praise.
Okay? So you can praise God. You know, that's that song that we just sang. How many know the song that we just sang? You'll be in your car and you can be sucked right into the presence of God. Watch this. By your making a decision to praise. Amen. Amen. So, you know what? That helps us to catch what God is saying to us. Get into his frequency. You're not going to, you listen, if you're listening to FM station, you're not going to be able to get any of the AM stations. Why? Because you're on the wrong frequency. Sometimes, how many know we get in the wrong frequency? We listen to the wrong people. We listen to the wrong voices. Amen. How many know we got a lot of voices? How many ever listened to the wrong people, got wrong advice? Let me try it again. How many ever listened to the wrong people, the wrong advice? Well, you should. How many know you can turn those people off? Amen. What did Armstrong say one time? He said, what did he say, Tamara? Block and delete. How many of you got to block and delete some people? Amen. Not because we don't like those people, but you've got to be, listen, you've got to qualify what you're listening to. Amen. So, you know what? Praise, you know what? Grabs us and helps us. Now, what was the third thing we said?
Prayer.
Somebody say prayer. So prayer will get you. Here's what the Bible says. You draw close to God. Watch this. You draw close to God. Whoosh, and God will draw close to you. You say, Pastor, I've started to spend 15 minutes with God a day in the morning. Whoosh, right there. Why? Because when you make that effort, he totally loves you. Totally passionate for you. And he loves. And so when you spend time with God, boom, it will help you to hear from God. It'll put you in that frequency. And then last week, We didn't do a real good job of connecting the dots because what we were talking about was how reading your Bible will connect you to God. But we spent a lot of time talking about faith. How many of the Word produces faith in our life? And God loves faith. You know, you start believing, man, all of a sudden you are, listen, faith is his frequency. Faith is the currency of heaven. There's nobody in heaven doesn't trust God. You know, God doesn't tell somebody, you know, what to do. He doesn't tell Peter what to do. Peter's like, I'm not sure that'll happen, God. No way. How many of everybody in heaven trusts God?
Right.
They are into that frequency. How many know even though we're on this earth, we can get into God's frequency by trusting him? Faith will press you. And so even though we're talking about the Word, we're talking about faith, and we're going to do it again today. I want to show you, but I think we'll be more specific to show you how the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, listening to the Word, coming to church and hearing the Word is going to help you get into God's frequency. How many have ever been preaching? I've been preaching, and as I'm preaching, you just feel spiritual. Come on, somebody. What's happening? You're it's like, man, I don't know. Pastor's convicting me and helping me to not, you know what, you feel like, you know, maybe you blew up at your neighbor. You know what I mean? Praise God. You know, we're blessed at my house because our neighbors live far from us. I'm just saying. I went over to somebody's house the other day, and I was tripping out because, you know what, I was, you know, you look out the window, and the neighbor's like right there. I mean, their head wasn't right there, but But you know what? I was like, man, we're blessed at our house because our neighbors are far away. But how many know sometimes your neighbors can tick you off? You know what? How many ever, like, you got mad at somebody and you were happy about it? Come on, somebody tell the truth. You're in church. And you're like, man, I was glad to get that off my chest. Man, they deserve that. Come on, somebody tell the truth. And so you're all happy about it, and then you get to church, and I'm preaching the word, preaching the word, preaching the word, and all of a sudden you start to think, I shouldn't have said that. See, what's happening? The word is sucking you into God's frequency. And now, see, your perspective. Why? Because, you know, half the time, I love y'all. You're around your goofball working friends. And how many know they're not in the frequency of God? I'm not saying that they're not good people. I'm just saying that they're not connected with the frequency of God. Does that make sense? We've got to be careful that we don't have contempt for people that don't love Jesus. We start to think, oh, we're self-righteous and they are the heathen below us. I mean, we better not have that attitude. No, no, no. For God so loved the world. Amen. And before you get too big for your britches, you remember... You used to smoke a lot of dope, too. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen? I'm just saying. You know, don't get too self-righteous. But you're listening to the word of God, and all of a sudden, that which was you were proud of, you start to recognize, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. No, I shouldn't have smoked that. Amen. I shouldn't have drank that. Amen. I shouldn't have danced with that guy. Oh, yeah. Okay, moving right along. Praise God. But you know what? Here's my point. The point is, it was the preaching. Listen, I'm not preaching anything but the word of God. It's the preaching of the word that pulls you into some real sense, God's sense. That's the frequency of God. So I want to show you a couple things as a foundation, and we'll go as far as the Holy Spirit leads us to go today. John chapter 6, verse 63, I have it up here at the screen. Jesus says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. See, the benefit is in the spiritual realm, not in the carnal realm. Carnal realm, you know what? It's good for a season. How many been in that season, but after that season ended, you're like, oh my goodness. I wish I would have never done that. How many ever wish they never done that? But it was good for a season. Okay. But that flesh it doesn't profit. There's no profit. The end results is your life is jacked up. Listen, let me expose Satan. Satan's got nothing good for you. God has everything good for you. The more God you have, the better your life's going to be. Period. Yeah, but I like to do what I like to do. I know. How's that working for you? Come on. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, God's smarter than you. Amen. Watch this. But here's what I wanted to get you. Here's what I wanted to get you. Pay attention. The words, say the words. The words that I speak, say that I speak, to you they are spirit. They are spirit and they are life. They're spirit. Jesus, these words, they are spirit. Now, let me connect the dots. How many ever had a problem in your life? How many have a big problem right now? Amen. I didn't say they were sitting next to you. I just... Watch it. Okay, so watch this. So what is your problem? Here's what your problem is. Your problem is a deficit. Write that down. Your problem is a deficit. And every problem is a spiritual problem. Every problem is a spiritual problem. Every problem is a, to say it like this, every problem is a deficit that can be solved by His Spirit. Let me tell you about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is a, spirit of abundance. Here, write that down. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of abundance. The Spirit of God is a spirit of abundance. So watch this. Watch this. Let me show it to you. It'll make sense to you. Depression. If you're depressed or you fight depression, your problem is a lack of joy and a lack of hope. Do you see that? How many know if you're full of joy, how many know people full of joy aren't depressed? Why? Because the lack of joy, every problem is a deficit. And the Spirit of God is the spirit of abundance that solves that deficit problem. Amen. It's the absolute truth. Sickness and disease is a deficit of what? Of health. How many know the spirit of abundance, the Spirit of God, is a spirit of health? How many know there are no sick people in heaven? Amen. Amen. How many know there's no depressed people in heaven? Why? Because that spirit is abundantly, is because the spirit of abundance is in heaven. The Spirit of God is in heaven. It's the spirit of abundance. Poverty. What is poverty? Poverty is a lack of what? Of finances. A lack of provision. Is that not right? Confusion. You ever been confused? I don't know what to do. That's a deficit. It's a deficit of what? Wisdom or understanding. Right? If you had wisdom, you know what? It fills that void, and guess what? This. Did you see it? The words I speak to you, what are they? Spirit. What spirit are they? God's Spirit. What is God's Spirit? God's Spirit is spirit of abundance. See, your answer is right in your hands. And it's right in your mouth. Amen? This is the answer. This will suck you into the frequency of God. The frequency of God is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the spirit of abundance, and all deficit has to go. You want me to prove it to you? Read Matthew, read Mark, read Luke, and read John, and you'll never, look at your neighbor and say never. You'll never, ever, ever, ever see Jesus come up to a situation and go, oh man, you guys are jacked up. I don't know. This is beyond me. Never. Why? Because he's walking in the spirit of abundance. So how many know Jesus walked with people all the time? How many know just in this front row? How many know this front row? There might be some serious lack in this front row. How many know there might be some serious lack over here in this row? How many know there might be only two people in this row, but how many know there might be some serious lack over here? How many know in this section, man, we might have a slew load of issues. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you. Right? We might have, you know what, in this room, you know what, of course, there's lacks all over. But watch this. And Jesus dealt with that in his life because people are people are people are people. 2,000-year people had lack. People had, and so he would come up and the Spirit, his Spirit, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of abundance, and every single time he would meet that lack. Is that not right? How did he do it? By his Spirit. Because his Spirit is a Spirit of abundance. And listen to me. And the words, what he spoke, they are Spirit. They're his Spirit. They're God's Spirit. So Isaiah, watch this. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. His thoughts are his words. He's saying, my words are higher than your words. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. You have deficit. I don't have deficit. But watch this. Look at this next verse. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. Somebody say, as the rain.
As the rain.
Okay. How many know what direction rain comes from? Raindrops keep falling on my head. Why are they falling on your head? They're calling your head. How come they're not falling? They're not coming on the bottom of your feet. Because rain doesn't come up, it comes down. Watch this. For as the rain, this is a correlation to the word of God, is coming down from heaven. Now look what the rain does. It comes down in the snow from heaven and do not return there. But water the earth and make it forth and bud, that it might give seed to the sower. Seed to the sower. Watch this. And bread for the eater. Amen. Amen. I like going to the restaurants that they bring you hot bread. Yeah. You know what? And they bring you butter. How many like the bread and butter? They come to this and say, ooh. You're like, man, I like this place. Right? Come on. Why do you like that bread? Because the bread fills your tum-tum. How many are getting hungry? It's almost 12 o'clock. How many are starting to get hungry? Okay. What is hunger? It's a deficit. If it's a deficit of what? Food. Amen. And just like what is that water coming down for? It's not coming down so some guy could write a song, raindrops keep falling on my head. You know what? It wasn't given so we could sing Dancing in the Rain. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose is that your tum-tum would get full. That was the purpose. It comes down and it, you know, how many likes chips and salsa? Man, I was so hungry the other day, and God was so good. We had nothing to eat in the house, and then I was like, we got chips and salsa. Amen? How many know chips and salsa can come through sometimes? I was so happy. How many know you ain't going to have chips and salsa without rain? How many of you ain't going to have bread without rain? How many know you ain't going to go over to Tommy's and get a double-double without rain? Man, No, the cow's going to die without rain. Everything. You can't name me any food you could eat without rain. It ain't going to happen. And don't spend the next 40 minutes, you know what, not hearing what I'm saying because you're thinking of one. Trust me, there ain't one. Here's the point. It's coming down to the bread is there to fill the deficit, and that's why the rain is there. Just as that comes down, so my thoughts come down, my words come down to you, that you wouldn't have a deficit in your life anymore. See, you can't afford, you can afford to do a lot of things. How many know some of you can afford not to, you know what, have a Starbucks this next month? Yeah, I knew I'd get a reaction from you. You'll walk out today, man, Pastor was crazy today. He said I could go without a month without Starbucks. That was crazy. Listen, you can go a month without Starbucks, but let me tell you what. You can't go a month without the Word of God. No, listen, not if you want to have a life of joy and peace and comfort. Let me tell you what, the more God you get, the better your life is going to be. And there's people, and they push off God, say, no, I don't need God. I don't need God. I'm good. You're not good. You're jacked up. Sometimes you're so jacked up, you don't even know you're jacked up. Amen? You ever see these people get pulled over? You know, they're completely drunk. You know, the officer says, have you been drinking? No, officer, I haven't been drinking. And they fall down. And the officer will ask, have you been drinking? Are you? Well, just a little bit. How many know that's our life sometimes? How many know that's our life sometimes? We don't recognize how jacked up we are. We don't recognize all the, and let me tell you what, this isn't a condemning message. I'm not here to condemn you. God's not here to condemn you. But God is here to say, let me tell you what, the Word of God is not optional in your life. Because you have all kinds of deficits, and you're never going to fulfill those deficits. The reason why I sent the word was that it would produce for you, that you would be filled just like that rain produces for you and makes you full. Are you catching this? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is, what is it? Living. It's living. The Word of God is God. It's living. It's powerful. What's it powerful to do? To get you out of your mess. To get you to stop thinking. Listen, the problem we have is wrong thinking. Why? Because wrong thinking causes us to do things wrong. Do things that are foolish. So we have to change how we think. We change how we think, we'll change how we act. We change how we act, and our life gets good. Amen. So the Word of God, it's powerful to cut through the bone and the mire. Watch this. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut through that junk. It's able to divide the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I've been in fights with my wife. Well, two since we've been married. Okay, I can't lie. 22. But I've gotten fights with my wife, and I've said, you know what? That's not true. And then the Word of God will pierce, because it's sharp, and it'll pierce my heart, and the Holy Spirit will say, you're just a jive talker. Hello? Why? Because it's sharp. I mean, however many been here and you know what we said already, the preaching of the word, and all of a sudden you're thinking, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Well, you didn't think that when you walked in. What happened? The word was powerful and it pierced your heart. Does that make sense? Amen. See, you've got to allow this word, but you've got to, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of like, you ever gone in the doctor's office and he's got the medicine for you, but the medicine comes with this long syringe? I'm not talking about a little one. I'm talking about, you know what, the master blasters. You know what I mean? Okay, but let me tell you the difference between the doctor and God. The doctor says, hey, get ready. It's going to hurt a little bit, but it's going to help you. Boom. Yeah, little sting. Like little sting, man. Right? Okay. But God doesn't do that. You know what God does? God just puts it on the table and says, oh, that's going to fix your life. And then he walks away. And you're the one who's got to administer the word to you. Amen? Amen? Amen. See, how many how many came today? And the reason why I came is because I woke you up out of your bed, had one of those, you ever see those bow and arrows that they shoot, you know what I mean? Crossbow. I had a crossbow. I'm like, Jackson, get up. We're going to church right now. How many did I do that to? No, see, you know why you're at church? Because you got up. Is that true? See, we say, we read our Bible. What do we read our Bible?
Every day.
Well, maybe you, every day, but you really don't, but it, whatever. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is, I'm not forcing you to read your Bible. How many know God's not forcing you to read your Bible? The answer, the doctor's different. The doctor will say, you know what, here it is, boom, and jab it right in you. God won't do that. He just says, there it is. You want it? That is the answer. But you have to administer it yourself. Is that not true? It's absolutely true. You know what? And some people don't want the medicine. Because they take the short term, how many know sometimes it's hard to do what God asks you to do? But how many know, you know what, that God wants the best for you? See, nobody says to the doctor, I'll tell you know what, I know that shot will totally cure me, you know what I mean? You know, I know every Thursday, you know what, my, you know, hair turns, you know what, whatever, orange, you know what I mean, because I got this disease. But, yeah, some funky disease, every Thursday your hair turns orange. Whatever, it's just an illustration, okay? Well, watch this. Whatever the disease is, how many know, you know what, that if you got a problem and the doctor says, here, you need to take this, you take it. Because you want to solve the problem. Sometimes in the Christian life, we think, man, I'm not going to take that medicine. Because I'm going to go for short-term gratification versus long-time satisfaction and peace and joy. I say, no, 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 no. God is, his ways are higher than your ways. So what happens? The word is given. How many of you have noticed some change in your life? You're not perfect, but you're better than you used to be. How many raise your hand and say, I'm better, Pastor. Come on, even a little bit. You say, I'm a little bit better. Okay. Well, what has made you better? The word did. Let me give you some examples. So let me say this first. So what does the word actually do? Well, we saw it last week. The word produces faith. But you know what the word does? It reveals the truth. The word reveals the truth. The word reveals the truth. It is, you know what the Bible says? It's a light unto your path. It's a lamp, and it is even said, it's called the light. Jesus was called the light of the word. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus is the word. So the word produces light. What is that light for? That light is, how many ever walked in a dark room and you tripped over something? You stubbed your toe on something. You mean, that blooming kid. Right? Ah! Right? Why? Because, you know what? The room was dark. That's our life sometimes. When we're not spending time in the Word, and we're not spending time, you know what, coming on Sunday and Wednesday, hearing the Word of God, we start to see darkness, and then, you know what, and what happens? You know what? Then, you know, that bozo ask you out. Right? He's like, ooh, baby, you're so fine, baby. Listen, how come a year ago, how come 10 years ago, how come 5 years ago, how come 5 months ago, you know what, you'd go, you know, and he'd say, baby, give me your phone number, baby. And you're like, oh, I'll give you my phone number, baby. Right? How, watch this. How come you don't do that anymore? How come? Here's how come. Because you've heard the Word. You've heard the Word. You've heard the Word. You heard the Word. You didn't hear it one time. You read it and you listened to it. And you got on the internet and heard the preaching. And you come Sunday and you come Wednesday and you listen to the Word and you're reading the Word and you're putting that word in. And the same kind of guy that would have deceived you 5 years ago, you're like, baby, nothing. What a joker. Why? Why do you say that? Because the Word, what does it do? It illuminates, it brings truth, and you can see, you see him a mile away. You're like, oh my goodness. And he comes up, you know what? And he's, you know what? You know what he does. You know what I mean? You see him a mile away. You're like, oh my goodness. Right? Right? You see him a mile away. Why? And you think in your, you think to yourself, you know what you think? You think, man, I understand what's happening here. You think Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. You know what? Do not be deceived by empty words. That's what Ephesians says. Don't be deceived by empty words. And you hear that, and he says, ooh, baby. And you think, oh, my goodness, empty words. Right? You think to yourself, that's what you think. You think Ephesians, empty words. You know what? You think you think Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says you're going to know him by his fruit. And you see, you're like, oh my goodness, are you the same guy that was hitting on my girlfriend like 45 minutes ago? Saying to her, ooh, baby. And now you're saying to me, ooh, baby. Oh my goodness. You think, oh my, I know what's going on. I see that it's not just about your look. It's not, these are empty words. And you know what? I know who you really are because I see how you act. I'm not listening to what you say because I'm too busy looking at how you act. Are you saying that? Before you're like, ooh, here's my phone number. You know, when are you gonna call me? When are you gonna, ooh, when are you gonna go out? When are you gonna be over? You know what? Ooh, you want me to drive? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Oh, you don't have a job? Don't worry about it. I'll pay. Amen. But you didn't see it before. Don't be unevenly yoked. You know what? 2 Corinthians, don't be unevenly yoked. You didn't know that before. You're like, ooh, you know what? He ain't that bad. Listen. You don't need to go out with somebody who's not that bad. You need to go out with a man of righteousness. Hello? Why did that happen? It happened because of 2 Corinthians. Don't be unevenly yoked. It happened because of Matthew. You know what? You'll know them by their fruits. It happened because Ephesians. Don't be filled with empty words. And this stuff doesn't happen overnight, but you start putting it in, and next thing you know, man, you don't stumble on that anymore. Are you catching this? How many ever said something? And you said something and you're like, man, that, you know, I'm so glad I got that off my chest. Gave them a piece of my mind. You know what? And 6 months later,
6 months later, you know what? The same thing will happen. Your boss will say something rude, condescending to you. And just a year ago, you would have said, man, let me tell you what. You know, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. Well, what do you think now? You think James. You think James. It comes to your heart. You think, oh, wait. Be slow to speak. Wait, maybe my anger, watch this. The Bible says the anger, you think again, James, you think the anger, the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Amen. My wrath isn't going to make me the man of God that God wants me, the woman of God that God wants me to be. I can't just go off and, you know what, just, you know what? They threw, it's like a throw up contest. You know what? They throw up on you, like, I'll show you, and you throw up on them. Wait, that's not how we act. That's not Christianity. But how come you don't throw up on them anymore? They threw up on you. You know what you think? You think what the Bible says. You think you all of a sudden it illuminates. And now what you know what you say? You go, oh my goodness, how I measure it out. That's how it's going to be measured back to me. No. I don't want to act like that. Watch that. Then you think, oh my goodness, freely. Watch this. This is all the word. And you're now filtering your life through the word of God. Amen. And it's becoming, and before, man, you got fired. You had a good job and you fully got fired. You got demoted. You never got the promotion. You were the first person to get fired. When they were laying off, you were the first person to lay off. Why? Because that boss remembered, man, this guy's got a bad attitude. You know what I mean? All I did was, you know, and how many know that kind of, I don't deserve that. How many know that breeds, like, irritation? Next thing you know, your boss just asks you to move your car. You're like, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. Egads, he just asked you to move. You know, why don't you just move your car? But you're like, well, you know, what happened? See, it feeds into itself. And you start to be a legend in your own mind. And then it's time to lay people off. And guess what? You're the first one to get laid off. You're the last one to get promoted. You're the last one to get a raise. Why? He don't want to give you a raise. Amen. But now it's all changed. Now, watch this. Even if your boss is being condescending or whatever, you know, being not gracious to you, not speaking to you how he should speak, you think, wait a minute, freely I've received, freely give. I'm not gonna, the golden rule, that's what Jesus taught. Don't do what others do to you, do what you would have them to do to you. Then you put that on top of you're going to reap what you sow. And next thing you know, man, there are people being, how many know sometimes people are just nice to you for no reason? Like, man, I don't know why people are just nice to me today. I know why. Because you have been nice to all kinds of other people who didn't deserve it. And it's coming back to you. It's coming back to you. It's coming back to you. See, how did that happen? It doesn't happen. Does it happen because I get a magic wand and say, ooh, today be good day for you? No, this stuff doesn't happen magically. Yeah. It happens purposefully. Yeah. It happens purposefully. There's a pastor and one of his employees came into the office one time and said, hey, I just want to do a survey of really where our church is at. Where are the people really at? They were in a very influent neighborhood, you know what, in Chicago. So they had funds coming in substantially, and the funds continued to grow. Their church continued to grow. And so the pastor thought, I'm doing a great job. We're preaching the word of God. It's really effective. I think one of the employees recognized the people in the church. We got a lot of people. We got a lot of money.
but we're probably not very spiritual. But he didn't want to assume that. He wanted to do a survey. So he did a survey. The pastor said, okay, do a survey. And he did a survey, took a cross-section of each group, so it was a very accurate survey. And it came back. And he came back to the office 2 months later, and he said, Pastor, I don't think you're going to like this survey. He said, because most of the people in the church, if we took the high majority of the people in the church, almost nobody tithes. Well, how could you keep on growing financially? Well, you just get, you know what, richer people to come to your church, and everybody don't have to tithe. We'll just float on their giving. So it seemed like they were doing okay. He said, oh, and by the way, most people in our church, they come once a month. Yeah, but how could that be? We're growing. Well, you just get it wider. You know what? Get more people to come. And even if people are only coming once a month, you can still grow numerically. Some of you mathematicians will understand that. Right? And almost all of the people in the church, even though they had small groups, weren't going to the small groups. Yeah, but the small groups are going. Again, if you just look at the mass numbers, when they looked at the majority of the people, they weren't giving. Oh, and serving, almost nobody served in the church. Why did that happen? The pastor, the senior pastor, evaluated what went wrong. Because anybody looking at the church would go, whoa, you got such an awesome church. But when we started talking to the individuals and really asking them, they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. I mean, how many know Christianity ought to see a difference in our behavior? Oh, I'll give you another chance. How many know Christianity, we should see the difference in behavior? Okay. So, but here's what he said. He said, here's what I recognized. Listen to me. He said, here's what I recognized. He recognized I wasn't teaching the people how to feed themselves. I wasn't teaching the people how to feed themselves. How many know I can preach? You can come every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Sunday and every Wednesday. But ultimately, you've got to read the Bible yourself. I can't log you in to listen to my sermons over and over and over. You've got to do that. You will be, ultimately, I give an account for your soul, but ultimately, you know who's going to get account for who you are? You. And what I'm saying is, if you just put the Word of God in, the Word is a spirit. It is God's spirit. My words are spirit. And that spirit is the spirit of abundance. So then you're going to have what you need. Does this make sense? There's going to be deficits. You know what? Where's my toolbox? So my toolbox, look, I got my toolbox right here. And in my toolbox, you know what? I got this toolbox because I got tired of looking for tools. Okay? Matter of fact, one of the interns, if you took my hammer, please bring it back, okay? But in this toolbox, look, I've got all kinds of different tools. Watch this. And I can go and fix things because I have the right tool in its place. Does that make sense? You say, Pastor, why are you telling you about your toolbox? Who cares about your toolbox? The toolbox is your life. And some people, they go to their toolbox, and guess what? Where's my hammer? They have a problem in their life. They need to drive a nail, but they can't drive the nail because the hammer's not there. That's what this pastor recognized. All these people, and if you talked in their life, it could. How many know you can look all good on the outside, but your life is falling apart in the inside? And he recognized, oh my goodness, I've just created this facade. It looks like a church. It looks like it's happening. It looks like you're growing. It looks like, oh, everything's happening. But the people there, listen, if they're showing up once a month, something's wrong. If you're not serving, something's wrong. Oh, you missed a good time to say amen. If you're not serving, oh, let's stay here. If you're not serving, something is wrong. Why? Because Jesus is the example of serving. He said, be an imitator of me. That's a great example. That's a great example. You're sitting here. You come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You don't do anything. You just come and receive. But all of a sudden, you're like, man, Pastor, I want to do that sit and serve. What's that sit and serve about? It's when you come and you listen to a preaching, but then instead of going home, you serve in the nursery. Can I tell you about our nursery? Our nursery is a really cool thing. Don't tell anybody this. But here's what we do. We have, because we can only get someone to serve in the nursery for like 10 minutes. So we put that person in 10 minutes before the service comes. Actually, we can get them to serve for 20 minutes. So we get them to serve for 10 minutes before the service comes, and they take all the kids, bring them all in. Actually, we do this for all the kids. This is how we do all the kids. We get the people in position for the first 10 minutes, and then they come on in. And then before they leave, they lock the doors, okay? And they give the kids lots of candy, including the nursery kids, I'm just saying. And then they lock the doors, and then they just do whatever they want. They go to Starbucks or they do whatever they want. And then 10 minutes before we dismiss you, they come back. You know what? If the rooms are a little messy, that's because they didn't come back close enough to clean the rooms, okay? So that's what happens sometimes. But how many know that doesn't happen at our church? The reason why your kids are taken care of, the reason why isn't because, you know what, people aren't serving. It's because people are serving. And so you come and you hear a message on serving, or you'll be reading your Bible and you'll say, oh my goodness, Jesus said, as these apostles are fighting, saying, oh, I want to be number one. No, I want to be number one. They got their mamas arguing who's going to be number one. And Jesus says, what are you guys talking about? I'll show you how to be number one. Get in the nursery and start to serve. Become an usher. You know what? Get in, you know, come on your day off. You know what I mean? You got a skill. Come on your day off and volunteer. You mean? Why don't you, instead of just receiving, why don't you understand how the kingdom of God works? You'll read what Paul says. And Paul says, scratches his head one time and says, how is it that when you come, you got nothing in your hands? Church isn't just about receiving. Church, Pastor, I thought church is about, it is about receiving. But freely you have received, freely give. Sponges that all that sponges do and just they all they just take in water, they become irrelevant. Why? Because they're not designed just to take in water. They're designed to take in water and then wring them out. That's what you were designed for. You were blessed in order to be a blessing of others. Some of you are serving and you never were serving before. What happened? The Word of God. Man, you were sitting there and all you did was sit. All you did was sit and go back there and you know what? And get a bagel with cream cheese. That's all you did. For years, that's all you did. And then you heard the Word of God and it came in and it pierced you. And all of a sudden you recognize, oh my goodness. I want to serve. And it changed you from the inside out. How many know that that's what God wants to do in our lives? And how does that happen? It happens as we put the Word of God into our life and allow us to be changed from the inside out. Now we go to a place and we're like, oh my goodness, I have that tool. Why do I have that tool? Because I put that tool in here. That's why I have it. That's why I know, oh, I'm not going out with you. That's why I know, ooh, I better, I'm not saying what I think. Have you ever said what you think and you got yourself in a heap of trouble? But you're not, you don't do that anymore. Why? Because the word, it's effective now. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? How many ever, be honest, how many ever read the word and you read a chapter and by like, you read the chapter at 10 o'clock, by 4 o'clock you're like, what did I read today? You don't even remember what you read today. Come on, be honest. I was studying this out and I love what Joyce Meyer said. She said this. I was thinking, God, how come I read the Bible and later on I don't even know exactly what it said? Well, actually, this is a side note. You got to meditate the word of God. Not just read it, but that's another sermon another time. But I like what the Holy Spirit told her. He said this. How many believe the Holy Spirit can speak to you? How many believe that God can answer your questions? She said, how come that happens? I don't think. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, listen, Joyce, you're putting the word in. And because the word is in there, I'm able to take it out at the appropriate time. If I need to measure something, you know why I'm going to be able to measure it? Because this is in there. Do you understand that? How many ever had something going on and you weren't even familiar with it? You weren't even thinking about it. You didn't even really have the answer. And all of a sudden you went and the Holy Spirit spoke to you and reminded you something that he had spoken to you before. Reminded you something that you read. Happened to me just this week. I didn't even know. I was like, is that a scripture? True story. I was meditating about giving you that example of this guy who said, ooh, baby. And I'm trying to think where I have it. Yeah, now you got me distracted now. And I was thinking, man, that guy's just full of jive. His words are empty. And inside here, you know what came out? What came out is, do not be deceived with empty words. Listen to me. This is a true story. Do not be deceived. I thought, you know what? These people need to not be deceived at empty words. And in my spirit, I heard, do not be deceived in empty words. And I thought, I hate to reveal this to you. I thought, is that a scripture? And so I punched in my phone, do not be deceived with empty words. You know what came up? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. You know what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6? Do not be deceived with empty words. How come I was able to pull it out? You know how come I was able to pull it out? Because I read Ephesians a lot. It was in my toolbox. So I was able to pull it out. Why? Because I put it in there. Amen. Amen. How many encouraged, you know what, to read the Word of God? See, my words are spirit. Listen, let me tell you what. Put your Bible, get it up, put it over your head. Let's remind ourselves. Come on, everybody. Get your Bible, put it over your head. Say, I have all the answers. These are words of God. The words are His Spirit. It's the Spirit of abundance. See, you have it. But you have to put it in. It's that thing on, look. Listen, how many know this? I'm talking about this book. How many know that doesn't help me any? No, but Pastor, you know what? I sleep with my pillow under. My Bible is my pillow. How many know that still is not effective? No. I've gotta put the word in my heart. Let me show you one more passage. One more passage I want to show you. Remember when Jesus, how many know our enemy is our enemy. And how many know Satan is our enemy? And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to create these deficits. Every single time that Satan came to Jesus, you know what Jesus said? It is written. It is written. It is. Three times he said it is written, and Satan left. Why? Because the word of God is effective. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Somebody say, give attention. Let me give you the 2019 Pastor Cohen revision. Turn off your iPhone. Amen. Give attention to my words. Incline your ears. Listen, you have to incline. Everybody look, here's a word. Incline. Did any of your mothers ever help you incline your focus? Mama, get over here. How about that got your attention? Listen, this isn't your mom doing this. You have to incline your ear. Watch this. Your ears to what? My sayings. What are your sayings? It's the word of God. What he says. Can you go to the next verse? I don't have the next verse. I don't think I have the next verse. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Do you catch this? Watch this. Next verse. For they are life. You know what that life? Life is this abundance. Life is no deficit. Now you're going to be, now, egads, ladies, how much time have you wasted going out with the same guy over and over? Different name, same guy. Empty words. How many jobs have we lost? How much life, how much joy have we lost? Just focus. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, meditate on that which is good. Here, I'll make your life better this week. Stop thinking of all the trash that you thought of the last week. Just do that. Your life will get, boom. The Bible says that. Why? How do you know that, Drew? Because the Bible says that. Why? Because I've inclined my ear. I've looked and leaned and seen that's what the Bible says. That's what my life can depend on. That's what I'm going to have, quality of life. Watch this. For they are health to your flesh. Running around all over. You know what? The Bible says, here, you want a good life? I'll give you a good life. But you've got to take that medicine. Because listen, having this on the shelf doesn't help you. Yeah, listen, all the great sermons that have been preached, this doesn't help nobody. You know what helps? The people who will log on and listen to a sermon that I preached. Oh, listen. You listen on the internet. Listen, all that internet connection doesn't do any good until you logged in today. And the reason why your life is going to be better today is because you heard this word. You were discouraged before. You know what? This word will bring you hope. This is the only thing that will bring you hope. And you had it last week and the week before and the week before, and you wanted to log in, but you got distracted. Listen, incline your ears to this, because this is the only thing that's going to save you. Amen. And I'm just saying, as soon as you get a chance to come to church, be here personally, come. You're going to love these people. Amen. Best people in L.A. right here at this church. Amen. Now, we're going to close down in a minute. We're going to dismiss you in a minute. But maybe you're in this church, and maybe you don't know God. You're not a Christian. Or you're not sure if you're a Christian. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, just raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand. Yes, thank you. You can put your hand down. Who else? Is there anybody else?
Thank you. I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Now just say this with me. Just say it. Let's say it together. Say, Jesus. I love you. Thank you for dying on the cross. Come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to become a Christian. I want to serve you. I don't want to run my own life anymore. Thank you for what you've done. In your name I pray. I pray. I pray. I pray. I pray. I pray. Amen. Now, one more thing we're going to do before we dismiss. If anything that is said has convicted you, if when I said something, the Holy Spirit said, hey, that's you. I'm talking to you. I'm reading your mail today. Do me a favor. Can we not leave till we acknowledge that? Can you acknowledge it out loud by just raising your hand? Here's why. Because I want to pray with you. I want to pray that the Word of God would start to, listen to me, would start to really make a difference in your life, that you would say, no, I can't go 8 days without reading my Bible. I can't just come every other Sunday whenever I feel like it, whenever it works out in my schedule. I can't do that because my life is messed up, maybe in a big way, maybe in a small way. But in some way, the Holy Spirit spoke to you today. I don't want you to leave without you at least raising your hand saying, Pastor, that message wasn't a good message. It was a message of God that he spoke to me today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hands all over the house. All over the house. Thank you. Can I pray with you? Can we pray together? Say this. Say, God, thank you. You know what's going on in my life. Help me to put your word first. To incline my ears to what you say. I trust you. I know your word is the best. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.